And welcome to episode 65 of the Knitting Pretty podcast. It is Monday, June 13th, 2016. It's June 13th. This year has flown by so fast, I mean, I've said that like every second episode, but holy crap. It's June. Damn it. Somebody put something on Facebook about there being only 20 Fridays till Christmas, and I cursed their name. Anyway, sorry, tangent. Hi, my name's Em. You can find me on the internet as KnitFast, DieCozy, particularly Ravelry, Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter. Mostly Ravelry Instagram, really. And you can find show notes for the podcast at emmaknits.net under the Knitting Pretty podcast tab. And what else? Facebook. There's a Facebook group or page or whatever page. Facebook.com/emmaknits and a Ravelry group full of lovely, lovely people, which you can find just by searching the podcast name in the groups tab. Hi, how are you guys doing? Thank you so much for listening and for joining me today. I am imagining that this is going to be a short episode just because I don't have a whole lot to talk about, but I wanted to get something down. If you hear some background chatter, I'm sorry about that. The husband is home tonight playing Overwatch, which is a new game that everyone's enjoying very much. Anyway, he and his brothers are all playing together, so that's fun, but a little bit noisy. I told them not to use their excited voices. We'll see how that goes. Anyway, yeah, thanks so much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Let's get right into the actual crafting part of the podcast, and in my past, I finished a skein of handspun. And when I looked into it, I realized it's my very first skein of handspun finished this whole year. I had found during the whole husband cancer time that spinning was far too meditative. The thing that I love most about spinning is that it's meditative, that it keeps your hands busy and allows your mind complete freedom. It turns out when your life kind of goes to shit, you don't want your mind to have complete freedom. You want your mind locked down and busy with you know, counting stitches. So spinning was not a good hobby for me during that time. But life is looking up quite a bit, and things are good, and so I am getting back to spinning. And that meant that I was able to finish spinning and then get around to plying my Art Along project. If you've been with the podcast since the beginning of the year, you will remember the Art Along, which was our multi-craft art history inspired thing that we do. And I spun this as using Leonardo da Vinci's Lady with an Ermine as inspiration, because the colors were very, very similar to some of the colors in the painting. The fiber was from Linitium Ex Machina, and I can't remember what it was called. Villain? That might be a completely different one. Anyway, it doesn't matter because she doesn't currently sell fiber, so you're out of luck. Every once in a while she does, but not at the moment. But anyway, the fiber was sort of muted would be better, because it was saturated still, but not pure hues. Muted greeny teal and burnt orange, and then the kind of browns and other cool things that happen when those colors meet and blend on wool. And it was on merino lamb, and it wasn't the sort of typical processed feeling merino that you tend to find spinning fiber. It was a much more natural feeling woolly merino, and it was a lovely spin, and it poofed up beautifully in the wash. I made a 3-ply. I got about 280 yards, 256 meters of a DK weight. And it's lovely. I had intended for it to be a fingering weight, so that didn't happen. I think if I'd spun it all at the same time and with a little bit more diligence and all of that, it would have come out a fingering weight, but eh, whatever. So my original intention to make a sockhead hat is no more. I don't know what I'm going to do with it now. It's beautiful. I think it'll still be a hat. I'm just not sure which one. Eh, I'll get there when I get there. It's not fall yet, and it is perfect fall colors, and I think it would make a lovely fall hat for myself. Or possibly someone else, I don't know. But probably myself, because I think it's gorgeous. And I'm selfish, in a good way. Nothing wrong with a little selfish knitting. So, yeah. That is finished. First finished handspun of the year, in June. Oh well. That's the only thing I finished. Into my present. I am working on a couple of new projects. All new projects, actually. The first I'm calling my Madras Man Socks. It is just a simple pair of toe-up vanilla socks for the husband, made from a Fat Cat Knits sock blank. And I don't think Fat Cat Knits is doing sock blanks currently, but she does do yarn, and she does all of her, dyed-to-order colorways. You just won't be able to get it to look stripey like this one, but if you like the color, not that I've shown you a picture of the color, but if you did, you might be able to get it in yarn still. Anyway, the colorway is called Cool Madras, and it is a stripey sock blank that's got light gray, dark, slightly greeny gray, and a kind of Granny Smith apple green. And when Jacob got me this yarn, he bought it for me for Christmas, and he bought two skeins, one in Child's Play, which is like a crazy rainbow colors, and one in Cool Madras. And the Child's Play he got me because he knew I would like it, and the Cool Madras he got me because he liked it. And well, he and I don't share the same taste in color, so it sat on the shelf for a long time, and I thought, you know what, if he likes it so much, why don't I knit him socks in this stuff, because he likes it. And so I am. And I am well through the foot of the first sock. I actually think I went past where the heel should be. I haven't tried it on him to test it, but I only had about maybe 2.5 to 3 inches done, and then I went to knit night and I just got to knitting, and I'm a pretty quick vanilla sock knitter. I'm not a quick knitter on other things. Twisted rib, oof, takes forever. But vanilla socks I knit pretty quickly. Anyway. Sat around at knit night for 4 hours and then looked down and realized that I'd knit probably 3 to 4 inches of sock and had maybe gone past where the heel needed to be. So, I don't know. I'll reevaluate what needs to happen with that later. I might just do afterthought heels. I might do something else. I don't know. I might rip it out, but probably not that. Probably afterthought heels. Yeah, that's all there is to say about that. I'm knitting it on double-pointed needles. The, Knitter's Pride, I believe is the brand, Carbons, double points in size 0, US 0, which is a 2mm. I am a little bit sad because the tips are coming off of some of these needles, and they are kind of my favorite sock needles, so they're kind of less my favorite sock needles now. I haven't knit enough socks on them that they should be actually falling apart. Nothing that a crazy glue can't handle, though. So, kind of disappointed, but meh, whatever. It's fine. And as long as I don't lose the piece, it'll be okay. I started another lovely knitting project. It's a sweater called Belmont by Gudrun Johnston, who is the Shetland trader on all the internet branding things, and I think I talked about this either last episode or the one before, and I said I probably wasn't going to start it yet, and here we are. Basically, I was going through my stash and my queue and trying to match some things up, some sweater lots that I just wasn't sure what to do with, and the yarn I'm using is Madeline Tosh Tosh Lace in the Coquette colorway, which is like a eye-searing dark velvety pink. It's tonal, and it's really, really pink. Like, so pink. I am not a big wearer of pink, but if I do wear pink, I tend to either wear a very soft, like, corally blush pink, or the pinkest pink that you can possibly imagine. And that is what this one is. And I'm kind of coming to terms with the fact that I don't want to knit another lace weight sweater at this time in my life. I would like the lightweight sweaters, just for wearing in the summer and everything. It's nice to have a lightweight sweater, but every lace weight pattern that I've liked has been too open of a gauge, and I just worry that it'll snag on something and rip, or that I will hate knitting it, or I don't know what else. Or that I find that things at that loose of a gauge tend to shift around too much and they don't hold their shape. Anyway, I wasn't amused. So I found that this sweater pattern uses, for my size, about 920 yards, and the coquette, I had two skeins of this lace weight, and each of them 950 yards, so I'm carrying them double, which makes them about a fingering weight, and knitting a fingering weight sweater out of two strands of lace weight, and it's gonna be great. So far I've just got the majority, let's say. By the majority I mean like not even 20 rows of the twisted rib bottom of the sweater. Like I said, very slow twisted rib knitter, so it's not going super fast. But the fabric looks lovely, the pink is so pink, the pattern so far looks good. I'm happy with it, I'm excited to have this sweater done someday. But also to knit the lace, and just to have a nice lightweight sweater knit. I am finding that my VN cardigan that I finished last time I recorded is a little bit heavyweight. I went to wear it on a hot day with a little sundress, and just wandering around in the morning before work was way too hot. I had to switch to something else. So I guess it's a cool weather sweater, unfortunately. And that's fine. It means that I'll have a nice warm sweater to wear over dresses in the winter. But at this point, it's a little heavy. So yeah, looking forward to having Belmont and having a nice lightweight dress wearing sweater. Got a couple other things on the go, sewing projects. One is the Adelaide dress by Seamwork, which I'm making out of a cotton tencel, like it's like a denim, but with tencel in it. So if you've worked with tencel yarn, you know it's slippery and it's shiny and it's kind of weirdly floppy and shifty. And so that's kind of what this denim's like. It's very nice. I like it a lot. It acts a lot like a linen, but it's got the look of a denim with a little bit of shine. So kind of a, if such a thing was a thing, a formal denim. Anyway, it's really nice. And I've just got to the point of cutting it out. I haven't gotten any further than that yet. But hey, cutting is my least favorite part of sewing, so good progress. I also have just cut out the Hollyburn skirt, which is a Sewaholic sewing pattern, for a circle skirt. I'm doing the knee-length version with the pockets, and it's a very simple circle skirt. I'm also making it out of a denim, but this is a very dark, pretty much black, denim with a small amount of stretch and a polyester or something, a synthetic component. So it's a lightweight denim. I wouldn't want to make pants out of it. I don't think it would make a nice pair of jeans, but for a skirt, it's perfect. And I consider denim to be a neutral, provided you don't wear, you know, a whole denim outfit. I'm not into the Canadian tuxedo look, but I do consider denim a neutral. And I wanted a neutral skirt, so denim it is. The fabric I really wanted was no longer at the fabric store. They had a sort of caramel brown, 100% hemp woven fabric that was kind of, it was linen-y, but it had that roughness that hemp has, and it had kind of a texture of a fine burlap, but it was in a really warm, rich caramel color, and oh, it was nice, and I should have bought it when they had it, but it sold out. Oh well. If they ever bring it in again, I'll buy some. So yeah, that's all I'm working on right now, which is a fair number of things, I think, and I look forward to making some progress on those sewing projects, because I'd like to wear them. It's getting warm. It's not warm every day. It was freezing today. It was super, super windy. And apparently tomorrow there's a chance of a thunderstorm. But on the days that it's hot, it's been really, really hot. And having nice, breezy skirts and dresses to wear is really nice, because you can go to work without pants on and nobody notices. I always used to think dresses and skirts were stupid until I realized that it meant that you could go out of the house without pants on. And that kind of changed my opinion of everything. In my future, I have more sewing. I have printed and I'm ready to cut the Hayden top by Seamwork. It's kind of a woven t-shirt with some paneling that you could use. Some trims in. I don't know if I'm going to put a trim in it or if I'm just going to cut it and make it. I think it just looks like a really comfy woven t-shirt, and I look forward to having it. It has a keyhole in the back neck. I like to add a lot of emphasis on the back of my hand-sewn things for some reason. I think that that's kind of a fun place to add details, and also I like my upper back. Even if I have a giant mole right in the middle and it kind of sits in the middle of the keyhole in most patterns. Anyway, I'm thinking of enlarging the keyhole considerably because I can, basically. But other than that, I'll be making it as written. And then the other thing I'm going to be sewing is the Jedediah shorts and Fairfield shirt, both by Thread Theory, and they are men's patterns. I bought some fabric for man shorts because the husband needs shorts and he's really tall, and we find that every time we find shorts that are skinny enough for him, they look like short shorts, and he does not appreciate that. Not in the slightest. But it's not very easy to find shorts that are long enough for him and also a 32-inch waist. In fact, it's impossible. They don't exist, as far as I can tell. And then I'm going to be using the Fairfield shirt, also by Thread Theory, as a base for a cosplay costume for a neighbor. So that is something that's going to happen soon, because I just bought the pattern. And I wanted to mention all of that, because Thread Theory, which you just Google them, you'll find them, their patterns are all men's patterns except for one blouse, which is called the Camus blouse, and it is it's quite similar to the Colette Astor blouse, which I really, really like, which is why I haven't bought it, because it's so similar. But you should have a look if you're wanting a female pattern, but if you're looking for a male pattern, whether you are male-bodied or just into male fashion, Thread Theory has really nice men's patterns, and they're an indie company that does men's patterns, which is pretty exciting. Anyway, Father's Day's coming up, and they're having a Father's Day sale. All of their PDF patterns are 50% off. That is a huge discount on indie sewing patterns. They're selling for most of them for $5.50 right now. Like, it's ridiculous. They have a peacoat pattern, men's peacoat, that's selling for $6.50 right now. Awesome pattern price. Anyway, so if you need something like that, go check them out, because I've worked with their patterns for their boxer brief pattern that I sewed up, and it was a well-written pattern and well-graded, and as far as I could tell, good all around. So I'm looking forward to working with their patterns again, and yeah, so cheap right now, and I think it's just for the week, so get on it. Also in my future is a knitting pattern I found while I was looking for other knitting patterns. It's called Flea, a Lady's Cardigan. It's by Pinniguri. It is a fingering weight yoked colorwork cardigan. It's steeked and it has a circular yoke. It's knit in the round, and then so the yoke has a complex colorwork pattern on it, and then the whole rest of the body and the sleeves of the cardigan has a, I think it's called lysing, or possibly something to do with fleas. Anyway, it's basically like a single stitch polka dot pattern, and a little bit of color work at the cuffs and hem as well, I believe. Anyway, there's a version of it, I think it's like the third picture down. Someone has knit it in a dark blue with mustard yellow and other blues, and or not mustard yellow, but like a a kind of dark brownish honey color. Like some beers are that color. And anyway, and some greens and blues. And it's just stunning. I thought, oh my gosh, I want to get that yarn and knit that exact sweater. And then I saw that it's knit in Volmiza. And one, it's too hard to get all the colors you want in that yarn. And two, I would not want to steek that yarn because I think it would just unravel and I would hate myself and my sweater. So I won't be knitting it in those yarns, but I might copy her color scheme because it is stunning. It's just absolutely like the prettiest colorwork cardigan I've ever seen. So I think that's going to happen sometime. Probably not right away, but... Well, definitely not right away, but sometime. I am also going to be spinning some more. I pulled out my next spinning project, which is some Polwarth wool from Spun Right Round in a colorway that I believe is called Picnic. Unfortunately, the tags, if they exist at all, are somewhere towards the inside of my my bag of fiber, and I can't see them. But it is so colorful. It is creamsicle orange and neon pink and electric turquoise and lime green and gray. It's like everything that a bright colorway should be, combined with a little bit of neutral gray. And I've got 8 ounces of it, and I think I want to spin it as a Navajo ply, a chain ply, so it is stripey and keeps all the colors together. I'm not sure how fast I will make the colors repeat. I'm not really sure where I'm going to go with that, if I'm going to make it a gradient, if I'm going to, I don't know. Just not sure. My original plan with this yarn was to spin it into a very colorful yarn that I would use in the color work of a yoke of a sweater. I'm not sure I'm committed to that at this point, but I don't know. I really like my stripey sweater that I just knit, and I think it would do well in something like that as well. Just worked in as a stripe in an otherwise plain pullover. I don't know. I'm not sure yet. I haven't really made a final decision about how I'm going to spin it, but I know that I'm going to spin it, and it's going to be amazing. That's all for my future. I don't have a show-and-tell segment today. I'm honestly feeling a little bit meh this week. I've got a cold and a headache, and also the news from around the world has been bleak and sad, and I'm feeling kind of down. The shooting in Orlando just breaks my heart, and I don't know, just like want to shake the world and ask it why. Why is everything so awful? And so, I don't know, I just wasn't able to think up a good show-and-tell topic. If there's something that you ever want me to talk about, if you have a question or you're curious about something, or you think maybe I might know about something that you're interested in, there is a thread that is in the podcast group somewhere. It's stickied, so if you go into the actual group rather than just on your boards on the forums tab of Ravelry, it will be there. It's just not been used in a long time. But it's a questions thread. And so if there's a question you want to ask about crafting life or me, I don't know, go ahead and ask. And I can answer it on the podcast. But otherwise, I will come up with something to talk about for show and tell. But just this week wasn't a good one for just talking. That said, let's move on to my obsessions from the past 2 weeks. The first is an amazing salad. I discovered the recipe on Pinterest, and I made it, and it was unbelievably good, so I made it again, and it was still good. It is called a cucumber noodle prawn and mango salad. You don't have to make cucumber noodles. I mean, it's just a spiralizer recipe. You use the thing that makes the vegetables into noodles. And I do have a spiralizer, and I did use it the first time to make the cucumber noodles, and they were adorable. I will say it did add a certain je ne sais quoi to the salad, but certainly not necessary. The second time I made it, I didn't bother with the spiralizer, and it was still, perhaps surprisingly, completely delicious. Had nothing to do with the noodly texture. But it's got cucumber and red onion and mango, and I found these, like, unbelievably ripe mangoes, and then I kind of forgot about them, and they sat in my fridge being really, really ripe for like a week, and they got really, really, really ripe, like almost too ripe, but they were just unbelievably sweet. So good, like the juiciest, sweetest mangoes you can imagine. And then it has prawns in it. The first time I made it, I put the prawns in because I was making it just as dinner for myself. It makes a nice light dinner. The second time I made it was as a side dish for salmon, and I did not feel that I needed prawns and salmon. I had ended enough little ocean creature lives for one night. Well, just the one with the salmon. But anyway, I felt like I didn't need prawns as well. But the dressing is made with sweet chili sauce and fish sauce and rice vinegar and oil. And it's to die for. It is a really good, like, Thai-esque flavored salad that's very fresh and sweet and crisp and crunchy and so good. It's my new favorite salad, basically. But it's very specific. Like, it's not just a green salad you can whip up and have with anything. It does require a specific thing with it, I think. My second obsession is related to my dog, who's been a complete douche lately. He's been eating every piece of paper in the house, including my kids' kindergarten class photo. So that was really sad. He ripped it to shreds and ate the majority of it. When we finally took the initiative and got every piece of paper off of every surface in the house, he started eating Ray's dolls instead, ripping their hair out and their heads off and their arms and legs. Like, he's bored. I know he's bored. He's at home alone during the day and he's bored. I've looked into maybe getting him some interactive toys. The trouble is, he doesn't really see, he wants to play with other things. He wants to rip things apart because he's a little turd. Anyway, so he's been a naughty boy lately. Also, it's been hot. And he's stupid, and he just lies in the sun until he can't breathe because he's panting so hard. He's like a dog in a hot car, except it's his fur, and he's not in a hot car, and he could just walk out of the sun, but he just can't make himself do it. He just lies there being awful and miserable. So I thought, how could I kill two birds with one stone? I know. And I bought some clippers on Amazon, and I shaved him. And it was so satisfying because he is very comfortable in the heat now and he looks really stupid. And every time he does something stupid, I can just tell him he looks stupid. You look stupid, Loki. And he doesn't know what I'm saying. And it makes me feel like he's being shamed for his bad behavior when in fact he's just being kept from being overheated. But it was really satisfying. Little jerk. Anyway, he actually looks pretty cute. I need to fix it up. It's kind of a lumpy shearing job right now, and I need to go over it again. But other than that, it'll do. I need to do some scissor trimming around his face because it's lopsided. And he looks stupid, and fair enough, because he's a jerk and he's behaved badly, right? Anyway, that was fun. My final obsession is something that I use at work all the time, and I am bringing into my volunteer position at my housing cooperative. It is an organizational tool called Trello. You can sign up for free. It's online, and there's also apps for your phones and such. And it's hard to really describe. It's a web-based organizational tool. You basically can build lists. You build boards, which are just basically the web page, and then you can build lists, which you can reorder, and then on those lists you put cards, and the cards are kind of the subtopics of the list. And in those, you can do sub-functions. You can label them with colors, you can put checklists, you can upload attachments, you can invite people to them, you can earburn people to them. You can, what else can you do? You can set due dates, all sorts of stuff. And you can set the cards to age if you don't touch them. So basically, if you don't do anything about them, they start to change color so you can see which things you're neglecting. And I've spent a lot of time with it for work, and it's an incredibly effective group organizing tool. So I don't know if this will be useful to anybody, but I figured I would put it out there because it has been really helpful for me, and I'm hoping that it'll be really helpful with our volunteer group with the co-op. Because the hardest part of getting anything done as a group is keeping track. keeping track of what needs to be done, keeping track of what's already been done, recognizing people for the work that they've done. And that's like, that is key to a volunteer position, particularly, is recognizing people for what they have put in, because, you know, people don't have to volunteer for things. And it's nice to give them that little bit of reward. But also to be able to collaborate as a group, and you can bring all of your group members in on this, on the board, or just on a card even, and to be able to comment and see what each other is doing, and it's just really handy for any kind of group organizational thing you're using. And it's been on my mind lately because I've been trying to adapt our co-op process to using it, because organization is not our strong point. Or, well, it's my strong point, but I tend to just organize myself and leave everybody else out to dry. So I'm really hoping that we can all work together with this. So I thought, yeah, you know, maybe somebody will find it useful. It's kind of, it would be a handy thing if you were renovating your house and you wanted to keep track of all of your samples and everything, and, you know, tag your buddy who's going to come help do the flooring in it. And, like, there's a lot of applications beyond just work, but it's also really useful for a work team. So, I hope it's useful to you. And that is that. I have nothing else. Short episode today, which is kind of nice, I think. I will catch you all on the flip side, specifically 2 weeks from now, which will be damn near the end of June. God damn. I hope in the meantime that you are able to find peace and happiness in this crazy world, and that you get lots and lots of crafting time, because heaven knows we all need it to get away from real life a little bit and to feed our creative souls. Well, that was all very woo-ish. Okay, anyway, have a great 2 weeks. I'll see you soon.